Right.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, praise you, worship you for this day. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for giving this opportunity to learn your word, Father God. Help us to learn and apply in our life. We submit ourselves into your mighty care. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So we are in Genesis chapter 5. I just need to do one thing. Everybody can hear me clearly on the phone? Okay. That's good. Okay, so we are in Genesis chapter 5. We have been looking at this account of the creation for last few weeks. And now we come to this part of the scripture, the genealogy, right? And I hope all of you had a chance to read it, and all of you had a little bit of an understanding of what it's saying. But where we are going to start from is Genesis chapter 4 and the last couple of verses 25, 26, and then we are going to go right into the chapter 5. So when we come to this, the portion of scripture, it says, "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth, for God has appointed another a seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord." So we looked at, last chapter, we looked at the murder of Abel, right? Cain went and he murdered Abel. And now when we come to the end of the chapter, Adam and Eve probably must be brokenhearted. They have lost two sons, right? And God blesses them with another son, okay? And his name is Seth. And what is important to remember there is it says God appointed Eve another son. And remember that word appointed as we come later on. But then it says over here, "To him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord." And what we see here is a worship is starting again. There is worship, right? It's they are beginning to look to the Lord. That's mean the line, the Cain's line, the descendants, they were not worshiping God, okay? When you read that and later on when we look at the Enoch, we will see that now as people started to take the name of the Lord, there were also false prophets who started to go against God, kind of how we are in the world today. It's not that people don't worship God, but now they are trying to stand up against God. So it's very important to remember that. So now God, here we have a genealogy. And most of the time when we come to a chapter like this, we kind of just, okay, it's a genealogy. It's a whole bunch of names that I cannot really pronounce. I don't even know why it's in the Bible, right? How many of you felt that way? Anybody tried to read it and felt that, why are all these names over here? And why do I need to read it? Right? We kind of feel that. But when you look at it, there is a message in here. And there are actually a couple of wonderful messages in here. There is a message of salvation. There is a message of rapture. There is a message of hope. There is a message of a new creation. And there's a message and a warning of what sin does to us. You know, God does not include anything in this book unless there is something that we can gain out of it, right? If we don't gain anything from it, God would not include it in the Bible. So there is a reason why this genealogy is there. Later on, when we get to the chapter 38, we'll be like, why is this chapter in the Bible? What could this possibly teach me? And we will also see what a wonderful chapter that is. So let's read together. Let's see what it teaches us today. This is the book of genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, He made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. So here is a couple of things that, again, God is reminding us that they are male and female. I think this has something to do with what is coming in the next chapter when the sons of God enter into the picture, you know, the divine beings having a sexual relationship with the women of the on the earth. It's kind of reminding us that God, that's not God's plan. It's a male and female and a mankind. It also tells us what we kind of learned in chapter 1 and 2, that this is not an evolution. God created, and they were a man and a woman were separate than other animals. Okay, it's not that we belong, right? The science puts us all in the same Homo sapiens or whatever, however they want to put us in and put us in that category. God clearly says that you as man and a woman, you are different from the rest of the creation. Then it goes on to say, and Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. Now, look at that. When God created Adam, he was created in the image of who? God, right? Let us make a man in the image of us. So he had the image of God. But now when Seth is born, right? He's born in the image of who?
Adam.
Adam was a sinful man. He committed a sin in chapter 3 we saw. And what happened? The relationship with God was broken at that time. And that is something very important to understand as far as our salvation and why we need to be born again. There was a relationship, there was a spiritual relationship that was broken in chapter 3. Now, every person that was born after that to Adam was born in the image. And that's why we have a sin nature. Our sin nature comes directly from Adam because it's passed on through the generation. Because we are all born in the image of Adam. And that's why when we come to the New Testament, it talks about that you need to be born again. This is why it talks about that you need to be born again. Because yes, your physical birth, you have the characteristics, you have your parents' DNA, and for the spirit, your spiritual life to revive, that relationship with God to be revived, you must be born again. And that's what something that we can learn right from here in Genesis 5, because we are all dead. That's what God said. You are all dead. When we think, you know, that we are alive. We think that when we are born, we are good. But you know what? Even a little baby, a lot of times we say, well, that little baby, look at how innocent, how cute. But that baby is a sinful baby. Because you know what? We got kids over here. We did not have to teach any one of them how to cry. We didn't have to teach them how to manipulate us by their crying and whining, right? They learned all those things by themselves. It's like it's in their DNA. They knew how to fight with their siblings. We didn't have to sit them down and say, you know what? Both of you fight over that toy. It just naturally happened, right? We didn't have to teach. We didn't have to learn how to lie. Nobody taught us how to lie. We all learned to lie on our own because that's our sin nature. That's our sin nature that's in us from the beginning. And so we are all dead to start with. And if you are going to come alive, you need to have a relationship with Jesus. And when you have a relationship with Jesus, and we're going to look at later on, in this chapter, God tells us exactly what he's going to do to revive this relationship. So that's why we need to be born again. That's why we need to be born again, because we have it reversed. We all think we are good, and as we grow more in knowledge, more intellectual, that we are getting better. But the truth of the matter is, from the time of Garden of Eden, we have just gotten worse and worse and worse and worse. And as we get closer and closer to the end, the man is getting evil. We'll see it in the next chapter where it will say that every thought of the man was evil and continually. And that's the state that we are in right now. We will go on. And it says, and Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. After he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years and he had sons and daughters. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years and he died. There are a few reasons why we have genealogies in the Bible. One of the reasons is to tell us the passing of the time. So when we look at the creation in the Garden of Eden to this point, to the flood, right? We are going to end the first section of Genesis today when we end with chapter 5. It spans 1656 years. So it tells us that it's 1656 years has passed. It's also telling us how the world was being built. And if you look at some of the commentaries on this, it is believed when the flood came, the earth had 7 billion people. That's probably close to what we have now, if not more. 7 billion people and that is by very conservative measures. Basically meaning that the 50% of kids that Adam had, they had 50%. They had 50%. And you work that number down. By the time the Noah was born, we had 7 billion people on the earth. Now, and in the next chapter, it will tell us that the world was populated. You know, we think that the world is populated right now, but it was populated back then as well. Remember, look at how many years Adam lived. 930 years. They lived a long life. And when they lived a long life, you know, there were a lot of them around. There was a lot, you know, and they had a lot of kids. So that's how the world was populated. So that's another reason that genealogy is there. The third reason we can say that genealogy is there is these people had no past. There was no past. I learned from my mom. My mom tells me, oh, this is that. You know, we learned from our parents. Our kids learn from, and they kind of build on. They had nothing to build on. So they had to learn this, and it took time for them to kind of learn how to do everything and what needed to be done. And so they had a lot of experience. The other thing that it's, as we read, we're going to read very quickly all the other stuff. We have to realize how much death there was. And for 900 years, Adam was watching what the consequences of his sin was. That look how sinful we can be. And, you know, Adam must have lived a very miserable life because he was in the Garden of Eden. And now he's living in 60, 70, 80 years, we get tired of all this stuff. Imagine 900 years. One of the things that I should mention here is a lot of the time people of the skeptics of the Bible will say, you know, when you read these numbers, they didn't really live that long. They were counting their age in months, not in years. But that can't be true because if you look at some of the numbers, some of the people had kids when they were 6, 7 months old. So, you know, 5, 6 years old. So you know that's not possible. So that's one of the things to keep in mind, okay? So Seth lived 155 years and begot Enosh. After he begot Enosh, Seth lived, and by the way, Seth means appointed, like we read, right? Adam means man, Seth means appointed, okay? And then comes Enosh. I think Enosh means, and I'm going to look it up in a minute. Enosh literally means a mortal person, okay? Or a dying man, however you want to call it. And by the way, these names are not translated, okay? It's not like Yahweh translated into Jehovah. These are literal names. So we can take their name and the meaning literally. So all the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. Pay attention to that, right? He died. Enosh lived 90 years and begot Canaan. After he begot Canaan, Enosh lived 815 years and he had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enosh were 905 years and he died. Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. After he begot Mahalalel, Canaan lived 840 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Canaan were 910 years and he died. By the way, that word Mahalel literally means from the presence of God or a blessed God, right? Mahalal. Halal is all the psalms that we sing, like Psalm 121 and all of those, Psalm 118, they are called halal. That's where the word hallelujah, praise the Lord, comes from. And El is God, okay? Verse 13, Mahalel lived 65 years and begot Jared. Okay, Jared literally means like a despair. After he begot Jared, Mahalel lived 830 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Mahalel were 895 years and he died. You see? And the thing that we should be getting at over here is all die. The death is reigning over the world. Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. After he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he got Methuselah, right? And Methuselah literally means when he dies, it shall come. Okay? Methuselah is also a person who lived the longest in the Bible. After he got Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You notice up to now we are reading, every single person lived so many years and they died. But when we come to Enoch, it says Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. And now we have this person, and actually if we can go all the way back to the, if you have your Bibles and if you will go all the way back to the Bible, the book of Jude, we have a little bit more information about Enoch. And who he was. It doesn't tell us in Genesis. It tells us in Jude. And I believe it's the verse 14 and 15. So it says here. Now Enoch the seventh from Adam. As we read the genealogy here. Prophesies about these men. This man also saying. Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints. To execute judgment on all. To convict all. Who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Who are these people? He's talking about the verses before that. Says, these are spots in your love, feast while they feast with you with our fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the wind, late autumn trees without fruit. Twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars from whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. These are talking about false prophet, the people who are like Cain, right? Verse 11, on, if you go one more verse, it will tell you, woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Remember last week we talked about the way of Cain, where he wanted to meet God in his own terms. That, you know what, I don't like the way you have set up things. I am going to meet you the way I think is the right way to do it. This is how God should be. Kind of what we, kind of the attitude a lot of the people have today as we live, you know, in today's day and age. So here, Enoch is calling these people out. So what we can say is Enoch was the first preacher in the Bible. He was the first one to stand up against. And who were these false prophets? It was the people who were coming from the line of Cain. The one we learned about, you know, at the end of the last chapter. Those who were started to do business, who had started to do, you know, there was industry there. But at the same time, now they were like, okay, I think we can survive on our own. We don't really need God anymore, you know. And so Enoch was walking with God. He was preaching, and I believe when he was walking with God, and when he had this son, and he named that son Methuselah, which means when he dies, it shall come, meaning God had shown Enoch that the judgment is coming, that the flood is coming, okay? And so once Enoch learned that, okay, there's my son, whenever he dies, there's going to be a judgment, guess what he started doing? He had a burden for the people around him, and he started preaching, and he started to tell them that you need to turn to God, that these people are false. There is a God who's coming with his holy ones to judge the world, and you don't want to be caught up in that judgment. Okay, that's what he was doing. Now, some people might look at that and say, look, how cruel is that? That God is destroying the world and he's not giving people a chance to come to him, right? God, why could he not have loved them a little bit more? Kind of like what we think of right now. You know, God is a loving God. He's not going to send me to hell. God doesn't want to send anybody to hell. We choose to go to hell. When we don't believe, we choose to go to hell. God says, this is what you do, you go to heaven. This is what you do, you go to hell. We pick where we want to go. We pick where we want to go, you know. A lot of times we do it with our intellect that, okay, you know, this makes sense to me, and ignoring the word of God. And when we do that, we end up in the hell. But let me show you, the God of Old Testament wasn't a mean, jealous God who just wanted to kill all the people. He was also a God of grace, right? Look at the age of Methuselah, right? Methuselah lived, right, next verse it says, Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. Lamech means to poor and lowly. People who are destroyed, to poor and lowly. There's a reason why I'm telling you guys all these names. After he begot Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years. As I said, he was the person who lived the longest. So God decided that the judgment is coming, and it is coming when this guy dies. And guess what he does? He gives him the longest life, the most time for people to repent and come to know God. If that is not grace, then I don't know what it is, right? That's grace. He was giving them chance to come. And when we go back to look at what Enoch is, it says, Enoch walked with God, and it says twice. And then he was not. Suddenly he was not. There was no death in him. God took him. That's as we understand it, right? Some people say when Jesus comes, Enoch might be one of the person who comes back with him. But what does it mean to walk with God? It only says it for him. It doesn't say it for anybody else. It says it for him. Next chapter, it will say it for Noah. But here it says he walked. What does it mean to walk with God? To have a relationship with God. You have asked for forgiveness. You have seen his grace. You have accepted his grace. You have understood that the life is in Jesus. You understand that you are walking with him in obedience. You have faith that God is going to see me through. Enoch lived that kind of a life. A life of faith and obedience, knowing the love of God and that he is the only one who can give life. That is what it means to be walking with God. Are we walking with God? It's important to do a self-examination and see. Because in Enoch, God shows that if we walk with God, if we believe in him, we have faith in him, then you are able to conquer death, because he conquered death, right? He conquered death. And isn't this what some of us are going to experience? This is rapture. You walk with God and then you are not. You walk with God and you are not. That's what Paul talks about in Thessalonians, right? That in a blink of an eye, some of us will be caught up, right? But we'll talk about raptures at some other time. Since I'm running out of time, Lamech lived 182 years and had a son, and he called his name Noah. And you know what Noah means? Rest and comfort. Saying, this one will comfort us concerning our works and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed. You see that? Life was hard. You can see from him that this one is going to give us a rest because the life was hard. while they were living. They saw the consequences of sin and the result of a sinful life, right? After he begot Noah, Lamech lived 595 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now that order is not the same as how they were born. It's most likely that Japheth was born first, Shem was a middle child, and Ham was the youngest child. Okay, and we are going to look into detail what all of those mean and what happens next. With this, we come to an end of the first section of Genesis. But before we end, I want to draw your attention to something. A lot of times says, how can I believe this book? Moses wrote it after so long, right? But let me tell you, Adam lived, if you work out all the math, Adam lived until Lamech was 56 years old. Think about that lifespan. He saw all of these people being born, right? Look at Adam. He says he had a lot of sons and daughters. There was a lot of sinful behavior that he passed on to those lot of sons and daughters, okay? When we think about Abraham, right? We think about Abraham and you say, okay, Adam is here. We have Noah and then we have Abraham. But Shem, Noah's son here, he died. Abraham died before Shem did. Do you think Shem, who was in the ark, didn't tell Abraham about what happened? Okay, Shem lived all the way up to Jacob. Okay, Abraham's grandson, Jacob. That's how long Shem lived. And when you look at that, what happened with Jacob? The birth of the Israel nation. So you see, from Adam all the way to the birth of Israel, there is only two men. You have Adam and then Abraham. This was all of these things that we are reading. These are first-hand account. They wrote it down. Okay? Methuselah and Noah lived together at the same time for about 600 years. Methuselah and Adam lived together for 200 years. Do you think that was a passing of an information? There definitely was. That's how we have all this information, right? But the skeptics of the Bible said, you know what? Okay, you can call it. I don't take this stuff literally. Why should I believe this? It seems like some people got together centuries later and made up all this history, you know? Now, there is no doubt some of the stuff in the Bible has been around for a very long time, way before Jesus was born, right? So let me show you the message of Jesus. And I wrote it down so everybody would understand what is hidden in this genealogy, why this genealogy is here, right? So we went through the names, and every time I gave you a name, I told you the meaning of the name, okay? So Adam means man. Okay, Seth means appointed. Okay, Enos means mortal or dying. Okay, Kenan means sorrow or sorrowful. Mahalel means the blessed one or from the presence of God. Okay, Jared means shall come down. Enoch means dedicated or teaching. Okay, Methuselah means his death is in his death it shall come or his death shall bring. To Lamech, it means too poor and lowly. And Noah means rest and comfort. Okay? So now put it together. A man appointed mortally or a man appointed to death and sorrow of a blessed God shall come down teaching, and in his death shall bring to poor and lowly rest and comfort. Does that sound like gospel to you guys? Right? Here is the God's plan of redemption. In Genesis 5, that there will be a one coming from heaven, taking our sin on him, and in him we will find rest and comfort. Remember when we were learning about Sabbath, we talked about the resting in the work of Jesus. And that's the same message we find here in genealogy, chapter 5 genealogy, right? Now, this wasn't made up. Some guys didn't say, okay, let's put all these names together. And, you know, all the prophecies that we have written in the Bible will somehow come true. Because when Jesus was born, about 324 of the prophecies written in this Bible thousands of years ago came true. Which, when you calculate the probability of it, it is somewhere around 87 billion, 1 to 87 billion for even 5% of them to come true. And to the amount that has come true, it's an astronomical number. There is no possibility. This is the word of God. What is written in here is what is coming. And like this, what we are learning here, right, that there is a judgment coming. There's a judgment coming for us. In Adam, when we look at the genealogy of Adam, right? Genealogy of Adam. And when it's mentioned Adam, it says, through Adam, God showed us the consequences of sin. That how the death enters, how the corruption enters, and the chaos that enters. And Adam shows us that. When we come to Enoch, right? Enoch shows us that in God, if you walk with God, there is a salvation. And you are able to overcome death. Okay? And when you overcome death, we come to Noah. And in Noah, God shows us a new creation and a new day after the judgment. Right? In Noah, we have a new creation and a new day after the judgment. Here in chapter 5, before the judgment is coming in the next chapter, God is warning his people, right? He told Enoch. Enoch is preaching the word to the people saying the judgment is coming. And then God waits another 900 years before he comes down and executes that judgment. Later on in chapter 19, we'll see before executing the judgment against the Sodom and Gomorrah, he's going to make sure that he takes people out, right? Over here, he takes Noah out. We are living in the same time. The judgment is coming. And when that judgment comes, I like to believe, I'm one of the pre-trib guy, right? That the church will be removed. Are you going to be part of that when that church is removed? And that decision we have to make now, because rapture can happen anytime. Okay? When it says about the flood, that when the flood came, when the first raindrops came, people were marrying, they were enjoying, they were going through their life just like we are going when that first raindrop hit. We don't know when Jesus is coming, but we do know he is coming. And for that, we have to be ready. We have to be ready. So I hope that all of you have accepted Christ. You have a relationship with Christ. If not, there is no better time than now to come to God and accept him as a savior, repent, and in that you will be born again. And then we no longer have to worry about the judgment, because then we are in the ark. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you for this blessed scripture, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you put your joy, your peace into our heart, Lord. If there is any among us, Lord, if there is anyone who's listening to this, who has not yet submitted themselves to you, Lord, I pray that you knock on their heart one more time, Lord, today. And Lord, that you wake them up, Lord. I especially pray for our loved ones who have yet to accept you, Lord. I pray that you open their eyes, Lord. Despite many warning, Lord, there are some still who do not surrender to you, Lord. And I pray that you wake them up, Lord. Your word says the dead can only rise from your voice, Lord. So I pray that you wake them up, Lord. You wake them up, Lord. That you wake them up before it's too late, Lord. You wake them up before it's too late, Lord. Lord, like the time of Noah, Lord. I think we are living in a time of Noah right now, Lord, that we are wicked, Lord, and the violence is growing, Lord, and the wickedness is growing, Lord. Before it's too late, come and rescue your bride. Once again, Lord, I submit each and every person into your hand. Bless our conversation, bless our fellowship, Lord, and let your word do the work that it's intended to do. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys.